Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Today's guest runs a place where good intentions meet getting things done. Rocío Alcocer leads Norisk in Barcelona, Europe's biggest hub for tech and impact. It's Impact Week in Barcelona right now, and the Impact 100 2025 list just crowned AI as the top engine for tomorrow's impact unicorns. And Barcelona is buzzing. Rocío, let's talk about changing the world without, you know, sounding like a brochure. It's such a pleasure for me to welcome you on the show. We did another show before and I really loved it. You're amazing and I'm so happy to have you. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be having this conversation also with you in this very special week for us. So thank you for having me.
Amazing. So Rocío, now I'm going to... So I've been living in Barcelona for like almost 3 years. In December, it's going to be 3 years. But I suck at Spanish. I haven't started improving my Spanish yet. So I'm going to go with this question like this. So for someone who asks, ¿Quién es Rocío and qué es Norisken? Can you give us some context about yourself and explain what you do?
Yeah, of course. That was very good pronunciation, by the way.
Yes.
So you're getting better, getting better.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm Rocío Alcocer. I'm the managing director of Norisken Barcelona. I've been an impact founder before. I'm really passionate about how businesses and technology can be a force for good. And Norisken Barcelona, it's Europe's biggest hub for impact and tech startups, like you said. And basically, it's a place where startups, people that work in impact funds and other operators that want to make the world a better place can meet. So we're currently home to more than 250 impact startups. And there, we have more than 1,500 members. We just crossed that mark. And these are people from a lot of different backgrounds, but they have one thing in common, which is they think a better future is possible. And they not only think it, but want to have a place in building it too.
Amazing. Thanks so much for this intro. Sounds awesome. Rocío, I know that Impact Week, we are into the Impact Week already. And it lands in Barcelona at a perfect moment. What's the story you want founders and investors to take away from these 2 days?
There's going to be a lot of conversations happening. And we're lucky enough to have Impact Week here for the second year. It's Norisken flagship event. It's been happening for many years now, and it's where a lot of people come together from funds, founders of impact startups, LPs, enablers, like really lots of different profiles, thinkers, and we try to put some of the solutions in the spotlight. So in a world that's looks a bit gloomy and we're seeing a lot of geopolitical change, we really try to put the focus on what can be done and what is being done, but we also pose some of the questions that we don't have an answer for and that we want to spark debate and that we think will help us get to the next stage. So I think last week, Niklas Adalbert, the founder of Norisken, got awarded the Founders Alliance, like honorary founder of the year award.
And nice. I was congrats, Niklas.
Yeah, it's
shout out to Niklas.
Yes, and I was reading the article, and they explain what Norisken does as infrastructure for hope. And I thought, like, okay, it might be a bit cheesy, but it's actually very beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, it's
very
sounds amazing. Yeah,
I think so. If one thing to take away from the people that come here these 2 days, it's that they live here with this feeling that we're building infrastructure for hope.
I love it. Rocio, you know, Spain's startup economy, speaking about Spain, is actually hitting new heights. I didn't know that before I was preparing for this podcast and I read the information. So with, you know, 3.8 billion euros surge, from where you sit, what's actually changed on the ground in the last like 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, that figure it's mind-blowing because we've basically done this first half of the year. We've doubled all the investment that was done last year. So it's not just big like standalone, it's like in comparison to where we're coming from. To be honest, I think it would be unfair to say that this is something that happened over the last 12 months, because I think it's like been building for many, many years, and we're just now like getting some of the, like collecting a bit of what was sown long time ago. But one of the key factors for sure is that there's more and more international investment that's being deployed in Spain. I was reading that I think it was almost one in every five rounds last year had an international investor, and this is way more than like 5 years ago. So this is great to have international funds looking at Spain. We see that Norskin as well, we have a big network of investors, and many are coming from abroad and are looking at Spain as an interesting market. So that's definitely going to be game changing.
Amazing. I can totally, I would sign my, like both hands used to sign under that. I think it's so important to get, you know, like born global and have this international investment as well, and have like this global ambition from the get-go. And let's talk, so Rocio, let's talk the Impact 100. Is it like, how do you call it? Is it Impact 100 or Impact / 100? Like, how was the list?
Impact 100.
Impact 100. So let's talk about the Impact 100 list. 2025. It kind of puts AI at the top of tomorrow's, you know, impact unicorns. And rightly so, right? Because like every company is going to be AI company, or is already almost AI company. Like when it comes to tech, beyond the hype, I wanted to ask you, what convinced you? You know, AI is now net positive force for impact.
Mm-hmm. This is a very tough question.
Yes.
So first, just
tough questions on the show. Only tough questions.
But yeah, just a little bit of context, because I think the Impact 100 list, it's one of my favorite initiatives from Norskin. It's every year we put together a list of 100 companies, normally emerging 100 companies, so usually Series A or so. Not many of them are not really like worldwide known yet, that we think have the biggest potential to solve some of the world's biggest challenges that we're facing right now. And like, I really recommend like anyone to have a look, because when we were talking about like hope, you know, and when sometimes you're a bit like, okay, there's like no solutions, I don't see problems, this list, it's like such a source of inspiration of what's being done. And there's some crazy stuff over there. So yeah, AI in particular, I think it's pretty clear that we're only scratching the surface of this technology. And at Norskin, we really believe in scalable solutions. So when we think about scalable solutions, and when we look at AI and how good it is at solving complex problems, which are the kind of problems that the world's facing right now, we think there is a huge potential there. Like, we're currently using AI for silly things sometimes, you know, like check what is the weather. Like, obviously, if you use it for that, it's not net positive, because the resources that you're consuming for that search, you know, you can find them somewhere else. But when we're talking about solving really complex problems, health, things related to climate, biodiversity, there's a huge potential.
I couldn't agree more. Rocio, I know that you've also said that, you know, these winners, like the winners from the list,
show that, you know, technology and impact go hand in hand. I think it was the thing you said. It was like citation from the report, which I like a lot. And I wanted to ask you, what common thread did you see across, you know, this year's selection process?
I think
besides AI.
I think not only this year, but like all the latest years, and it's not only happening in impact, but particularly in impact, we're looking more and we're seeing more and more startups that are using like deep tech. Before, when we talked about startups, we imagined like apps and software and, you know, things like this. But now we're now seeing a whole new level of startups that are like industrial startups. Hardware, which before was like investors were like not wanting to touch any startup that had to do with hardware, and now they're interested. Yeah. You know, so we're seeing a migration towards startups doing more deep tech, hardware, and not only software and apps. I think it's happening everywhere, but obviously in impact it makes more and more sense that that's the case, because the challenges, like we said, are harder to solve. So it's not like two lines of code. It's systems that are deeply interconnected, and you need like a much more advanced technology to solve some of those challenges.
Which is amazing. I love to hear that. Let's maybe give some spotlight, you know, to the Spanish finalists on the list. So you might be you might have to correct me if I pronounce the names wrong, but let's go. Let's try it. So DeepPool, near real-time, you know, pathogen detection, and Psychai, early pancreatic risk via imaging AI. What must happen? You know, like these are two of the finalists, two of the first finalists that I want to give the spotlight to. And I want to ask you, like, what must happen, you know, next? Let's say regulatory, clinical, and deployment wise, for these two companies, you know, to become standard of care.
I mean, the founders would be much better at replying to this question for sure. But one of the things that we've been seeing when we talk, especially to healthcare startups, it's that it's already super long selling processes. Understandably so, because of the sector, and you work with hospitals, even just like private and public hospitals have completely different ways of getting like and adopting new technology, and a lot of legacy. So there's a lot on that front. But another thing that they face, and that this is common to all the startups, and actually Norskin VC did a report on the state of European tech recently, and this was one of the things that came up. It's like, regulatory, it's so hard to scale in Europe because you need to adapt to the regulation of each country. And it's so different, just the sheer level of paperwork you need to do. The talks about EU Inc., etc., like this is something that would be huge for these impact companies to be able to scale.
Exactly. By the way, like EU Inc., just like the deadline is tomorrow. I don't know, like by the time I'm going to count that, but by the time we air this episode, probably it's going to be like one day after deadline. But yeah, like the deadline is tomorrow. I want to also like post about tomorrow still to maybe like if someone forgot to you know, go and make major impact, to still like go and like fill out those forms to help that happen. The AI, EU Inc. is definitely the thing, AI as well. But let's go to the next one, Rocio. So Bjors. Bjors is, you know, streamlining clinical trials with an AI platform, which is actually super interesting for me, given that my wife, Shilpa, like she's doing end-to-end clinical trials as like she works in at AstraZeneca at the oncology department, and she's managing those things and leading the Barcelona global hub. Where are the real, and I have a lot of conversations about that with her, and her colleagues actually from work. So I'm curious to hear your perspective on that as well. Where are the real bottlenecks in trials, and how could this, you know, unlock faster, safer therapies?
I know she was in pharma, but I didn't know she was in clinical trials specifically.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to connect them if they're not connected already.
100%. Yeah, let's do that.
So, look, I'm absolutely not equipped to reply. I don't know the exact bottlenecks from talking to them. I know it's just like super long processes, which is horrible, mm-hmm. not only for the companies that are developing the trials, but also for the patients who take super long time to be able to get the benefits from these trials being implemented. And the fact that they're working with both sides, so to help patients and the companies developing the trials, I love it. And I don't know what the challenges specifically are, but I know if one team can make it happen, it's the viewers team. Like, they actually sit in the yeah. house here at Norske in Barcelona, so I know them very well. Norske and VC has invested in them as well, and we're really, really passionate about what they're doing, and they're an amazing team. If someone can do it, it's going to be them.
Amazing. I love the answer. Rocio, ocean ecostructures. You know, they what they do is regenerate biodiversity on marine infrastructure. How do you sell, like, because, you know, it's all like about like impact, but then you actually have to have like a real impact, and then like ecological impact has to meet the economical impact, and so on and so on. And so, yeah, fun question. How do you sell biodiversity outcomes to someone who only speaks spreadsheet?
It really depends on who the person is listening. But in the case of ocean ecostructures, it's interesting because, there's a lot of regulation that's enabling them to thrive, because right now there's a lot of projects that you just cannot execute them unless you can ensure that you're not going to endanger marine life, right? So whenever you put a new infrastructure at sea, you need to show how that's not going to end up being a net negative. But also what's interesting with them is two things. One, they're developing a lot of data that's super relevant for the industries that they operate in. So they not only put these structures, but because they do constant monitoring, they can provide a lot of valuable data to the ports, for example, whenever they have infrastructure there. And they also work with eolic parks that are at sea. And because they take care of the infrastructure, they provide a lot of this data that's valuable. And then the other thing is that it's been shown over and over again that when you improve the marine life, like in this area that it's protected, then all the areas that are surrounded, like around it, also improve. So, for example, fishing improves in the surrounding areas of the area that it's protected. So you're encouraging other economic activity by having an area that it's protected. It's a bit counterintuitive, but by protecting a certain area, you enable that area to flourish, and then other industries also benefit from it. So it just has incredible ripple effects.
You sold it to me, Rocio. I buy in.
I'll tell you like a funny story, but as a Norske in Barcelona team on our offsite, we went and we're diving in Tarragona to see the structures, some of the structures that they've put there at sea. And wow, like it was absolutely astonishing to see like where rocks were before and like cement things. Now we're covered in corals, tons of fish that you could like play with. It was... honestly,
amazing.
Blew my mind.
Amazing. I love it. I would love, like, next time you go for such excursion, please invite me. I would love to go as well. Rocio, last one out of the Spanish group of startups that made the 100. Is it Kida or Quida?
Kida. No, yeah.
Kida. Okay. So Kida is rethinking home care at scale. What's the most
you know, but like, it's, yeah, let's go with this one. What's the most human metric you've seen that proves home care works?
I think what I'm going to say, it's very subjective, but I think it would strike a chord with a lot of people. If you've had elderly people or people who needed care at home, like very often the moment that you bring them to hospital, things go in decline, you know, it feels as if maybe because our minds, our bodies are very, very connected. You know, it feels like kind of you're giving up. And I had like a very close experience of my great grandma, who I had the luck to meet when I was a kid. And she was like in perfect health, like had an issue because she fell and she broke her, I don't know how you call it, her hip. And we took her to the hospital, and then she started enchaining things, you know, because you're there, you're more vulnerable. She got like a virus, and then it escalated from there. So I love that their mission is really to keep patients at home the longest that's possible, so that hospitals come in only when it's the last resource. And obviously at some point you need like certain medication, certain care that you cannot provide home. But I love that their motto is, let's prolong this phase where you're at home the most that possible, because your quality of life is better. You physically and mentally feel better and more like taken care of. And I think that has a healing effect as well. So I think it's subjective, but I don't know if you can relate or you lived something like this, but I feel like there's a lot of examples.
100%. I mean, you can call it subjective, you can call it specific, but the more specific you get, the more universal it becomes and the more people can relate to it. And I can totally relate to it. And I just wanted to say, Rocio, that I love like all your answers to, and like all your, like the way how you describe those companies, answer those questions and all support that you give for them. I wish like every founder would get such a like human warmth and like really loving support that you're providing. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan and congrats on doing that. You know, as you mentioned, Norescan Barcelona is like, it's an ecosystem, right? Like you have members, startups, like 21 plus in-house investors, accelerators. I don't know if I got the number right though, if it's 21, but you can correct me. So what I was just wondering, on this completely other note, like to finish this, like the spotlight on the startups is ended now. Now we move on. What's one piece of, you know, community design? I know that you were also, like we were talking about it previously when we met, like you were much into it. What's one piece of, you know, community design that quietly makes everything work better?
We have 90 investors now. Can you believe it?
90?
What
is, like, come on.
21. No, you know what? I think 21 might be VCs. But then we have a lot of angel investors, we're uncovering more and more investors in the house.
Good.
I'm very happy.
Good.
This figure will get out today.
The more investors, the merrier. So exactly. It's good.
So one piece of community building that I think it's really helping us, it's a lot of people in this community really want to give back. So establishing avenues where people can like take charge of initiatives and you know, create workshops. Right now we have three champions, we call them, like in different circles. We have the climate tech champion, a health tech champion, and a food agri tech champion that are kind of activating the sub-communities of these verticals inside Norescan. And really, like, there's so many incredible people part of the community that just like giving them the support and the platform where they can also create ideas, put panels and, you know, like promote what they're really passionate about, because we don't know so much about all these very specific things, and they know better than us, no? So they can really help us and be an extension of our community team. And I love that, like this, like giving back mentality and just like enabling for that to happen. I think it's probably our biggest secret tool.
Nice, I like it. Rocio, looking ahead to 2026. Let's just move like year by year, because it's everything is changing so much and developing so fast that it's like it doesn't make sense even to go like 10 years ahead, because we probably it's hard to imagine what's gonna. I mean, we can imagine, but it's hard to like actually nail it. What's gonna like what the world will look like by then. So, what do you love Barcelona's impact scene to be, you know, famous for? In 2026, you know, for that that isn't sunshine and or sangria. I know we talked about it during the before, and we were like laughing that yeah, sun startups and sangria. So what Barcelona is famous for, you know. So what would you like to see, and what kind of, you know, has to happen between now and then to earn it, and. No, I'll give the stage to you now.
Yeah, I actually love that Barcelona can combine these two things, no? And we talked about it before, like it can be a crazy startup city, but also, you know, be known for its quality of life. And I actually really like that we can show that it's possible to have both things. But yeah, the one thing for next year that for me it's critical, it's there's so many capital that wants to be deployed in AI, and there's so much talent looking at building something in AI that I'd love if we manage to show that it's possible. It's not only possible, like we're seeing a lot of startups, but that we can move this capital and talent into impact and to show how you can do things in AI to solve some of the world's biggest challenges. And you don't just need to do another agent for something that's already resolved, you know, maybe a little less efficiently, but that's, you know, not like a big question that we're facing as humanity. So I'd love 2026 to be the year to move more of this capital and talent into impact. And
100%. I love it.
Actually prompt what matters.
Nice. I love the answer, and I'm all in. Rocio, now it's time. On the podcast, while I usually play a little game with my guests, it's a rapid fire kind of game. So I ask you quick questions, you give me quick answers. Are you up for it?
Game.
Yes. Great to hear that. Let's go. Let's go and do it. This is the first one. One buzzword you'd totally ban from Impact Week for a year?
None. I think nothing should be off limits in Impact Week.
Nice. I like the answer. If Norisk and Barcelona had a billboard, you know, and like the seven-word tagline is?
We did have a billboard. Let me see if it fits. Europe's biggest hub for impact and tech startups. Okay, and tech.
Good. I like it. I love it. Rocio, a tiny daily habit that moves the needle and your team teases you for?
Have breakfast. I think I'm a monster without breakfast.
Yeah?
Okay. You need for the day.
Yeah. Nice. Most underrated leverage in Spain's ecosystem right now?
Talent. I think we could be better at selling ourselves and the products that we build and the solutions that we build. I think there are other countries that are much better at doing that, and that we're more the quiet builders. So yeah, probably talent.
All right, so finish this sentence. We don't need more panels. We need more
conversations with people with opposing views.
Amazing. Exactly, because the change happens. The change happens when you have like a friction, right? It's nice to have like-minded people and talk with them and like build together. But a real change often happens when you have friction, when you have different views, different point of views, different people from different backgrounds, cultures, and so on. And then we work together towards an amazing goal. I love it. I've been loving this conversation with you, Rocio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been lovely to have you on the show. I can't wait to see you in person. And thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it too.